get it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again, everybody. This is Buck Benny speaking. I am joined with the whole team today. We have something really special for you. We're going to play, we're gonna redo an episode that we've lost the audio. It's gone to time, and I've never done this one for you before, but it's a great episode, and we just decided to do our reenactment of it, and we hope you're going to enjoy that. We were lucky enough to get Todd Bensel to do Jack's voice, and he does a beautiful job of Jack. Todd, why don't you tell us a little bit about like kind of what you do and how we got a hold of you?
Well, I'm an impressionist. I've been doing stage shows and TV and radio commercials for about 40 years. And Jack was one of my first impressions as a kid. I think Jack, Jimmy Stewart were probably my first two. And huge Jack Benny fan. And I listen to your podcast all the time. Take walks every day and always that passes the time. I love it. It's fantastic.
Just like everybody else in America, they all listen to my program all the time.
There you go. There you go. So
Or at least a few hundred of them.
I enjoyed the script because, I think Jack's really hit a stride right after World War II. That era from 46 to say when he went off the air in the mid 50s were some of my favorite episodes. And this is right in that wheelhouse.
Exactly. And we'll talk a little bit about this episode because I really enjoyed about this one is probably more than almost any episode I can think of. He had great little bits with everybody. Everybody had their moment to shine in this episode. Probably a little more with Rochester than the others, but not a lot. It was not centered on any one. It just kind of went. John, why don't you go ahead and introduce us to your wife, who's our guest today too?
Yeah, this is my wife, Stephanie. She's a professional herself. She's done a number of local radio commercials and stuff. You could introduce yourself.
I've been in radio for about 20 years. So
wow.
I host a show on a few stations and it's a lot of fun. This is a great opportunity to practice my impression skills as well.
Very good. You did a great job. John, when I mentioned to John that he could do the Rosemary Clooney part, and just as a joke, of course, I'm always insulting John. Everybody knows that. But then I just tagged in there, unless your wife would happen to want to come, because I had heard her on some of John's stuff and I knew she had a really good voice. And so I just thought I'll throw it out without really asking. I just kind of hinted that. And John, of course, picked up on it with his brilliant mind and said, let's do this. So, John, that came together so well. She was so much better than you or I doing our Miss Doubtfire impression of.
Yes.
I know. I actually really like those. I think they're funny.
Yes. Oh, puppet. Yeah, I am. What did you do? Jack Benny's here.
You should hear his impression of me.
if I was to do it, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Well, so John is going to be doing Dennis, and he does such a brilliant job of Dennis in this show. I didn't know he would do such a great job.
Neither did I.
No, I end up doing Rochester and Phil. Rochester, I think, do a pretty good job. Phil is just like a mess, but oh well, we tried. And then, of course, Kathy, tell us about Mary in this episode, because you do Mary, but there's something special about that.
Well, it's fascinating. According to, I'll say Laura Leibowitz's authoritative guide to the radio shows, she doesn't list Mary in here at all. So it turns out that the, I don't know how the tobacco documents got so lucky to have a copy of the script that as originally written, Mary was appearing, but apparently at the very last moment, she was not, she did not appear on the live show. And in the script gives her lines to mostly to Rochester. And that's kind of fascinating and points toward what is going to happen in late radio and television as the Mary's critical voice becomes more that of Rochester's critical voice. But, and she appeared, according to the to Laura's book, she would be back on the air in the subsequent and shows around. So this was not yet part of her sort of longer term what I want to say, leaving the, you know, I mean,
right.
taking a vacation.
Her Mike Fright and not being on as many episodes.
So,
and that sort of
yeah,
thing.
I'm not a good Mary, but certainly.
Come on. Her voice is she did so a great critical. Job with Mary. You're going to hear it, folks. And she does a really nice job. Because she, though, when we can't get the voices 100% at all, you know, and it's difficult to do that. But getting the inflections right and getting the personality to come through. And I think Kathy really captured Mary's personality really in a lovely way. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to compliment Vincent, who's a very quick study, because you were getting done right down pat. It's like, you know, great. I could just imagine 200 more pounds on you. And you'd be...
Exactly. I was going to wear the same thing, a fat Vincent. Suit as well, you know. Just gotta blow it up. That's the Don just had a fat suit on. You just blow up, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, and Vincent, you did a really nice job. And just Don's is almost one of the hardest to do because his is so just straight play. And you did really good work. And
he just has these like small little things that he does, you know, with the radio voice. So I just tried my best.
Yeah, you did a great job. Oh. What a fun performance, what a fun episode. And this the important thing about this episode is it is the first time that Jack introduces his song that he'll talk about for years to come. And so we never had this. You sort of, if you were listening to my shows, all of a sudden the song would appear without really any explanation for it. And then Jack would talk about it forever. And so this is actually, this episode covers it and the next episode features it as well, and that one's missing as well. So the I can't think of any time in this later Jack Benny period, say 1948 to 1954-ish, where we have like two episodes, and especially two key episodes, missing at the same time. That usually doesn't happen, but it's just exciting that we could bring this one to you. So I hope you're all going to really enjoy this one, and we had fun doing it. Maybe we'll do some more. We'll have to see, but. Anything anyone else wants to throw out there about the episode or anything?
Well, on my podcast, This Day in Jack Benny, I often talk about the references that people might not get. And there was a reference to a singer that Dennis Day makes, and I don't know who that guy is. Does anybody know about...
let me backtrack a little bit. John, you have a podcast?
I do.
Do you have any listeners?
You could find out all about it at thisdaybenny.com.
You can. That's so exciting to know.
you're wondering about Morton Dewey, is that right?
Morton Downey, maybe.
Morton Downey, that's right. Sorry.
Well, we know his son.
Morton Downey Jr., of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So I assume he's just like, is he an Irish singer? Is he like a high? Does he have a high voice?
Very high voice.
I see.
Yes, I should have grabbed some to play for you. Yeah, but you can look him up on like Spotify and things, and you'll find that he sings in a very high register, higher than Dennis and things. So yeah,
I see. Yeah,
you know, for
that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think he was on radio shows, like, you know, I don't think he was on any of the huge ones, but he was like somebody's singer for a while. He might have been on Bob Hope for a while. I can't remember. There was somebody, but anyway, and he got known, you know, across the industry because of the high voice. And so people would make jokes about him all the time.
So I downloaded Rosemary Clooney's Come On to My House because I was not really familiar with it, but we do at our house listen to a lot of Rosemary Clooney. We listen at Christmas time and she's got a children's album. Mm-hmm. So my kids are quite familiar with Rosemary Clooney and we listen to this and they're like, oh, she sounds old. And everybody thought this was late Rosemary Clooney, but this, she says she's 23. Like, this is early Rosemary Clooney.
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if she had just a rough day or what.
Well, and it depends. It's such a big hit for her that she re-recorded it and re-sang it lots of times. So, I mean, you could have found one of the later recordings that you're playing for your kids and not the earlier one. Cause I didn't think she sounds old in the earlier one. It's a really bouncy song, as you know,
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because I looked it up in two places. I'm pretty sure it was the 1951 one, but there's just like a bit of a wear in her voice.
Okay. Well, I think she's trying to sound sexy in that one. I think it's supposed to be a sexy song. Because when she sings the, because it's really a dirty song in a lot of, I mean, it's sort of, you can look at it as a trick or treat, a happy little trick or treat song, or saying, you know, come over my house, my house. But the, and then there's a line in there that's really risque. I can't remember. I'm going to give you everything. That's right. I'm going to give you everything. And then the way she sings it, it's like, you know.
Well, one of my daughters did say, oh, we should play this at Halloween. We're going to give you candy.
There you go. You should. It's a great Halloween song. We're out there with Monster Mash. We did the mash. Anyway, so without further ado, unless anyone has anything else to throw out, any other little bits, John, that you noticed in this thing or not so much?
I think that covers it.
I think so too. I did like the end. At the end, you're going to hear Vincent come on and talk about Korea. That section is new. I mean, it was crossed out, so it wasn't included originally. That's a cool thing about these old scripts that you have. You can decide, okay, do we want to throw everything back in that was originally supposed to be aired, or do we want to leave the stuff out that's crossed out, or what do you want to do? In this case, some of it we grabbed that was crossed out. Some of it we grabbed that was done like on air where they added ad-libbed something or added something to it. So it's a little bit of a hodgepodge, but we sort of try to bring you the best and the most complete script we could do. So.
And Daryl, I will just mention for folks who don't ever get a chance to go out to Jack Benny's archive in Wyoming or to see the scripts at UCLA, it is relatively rare to have scripts that have been written on and revised up to the time of airing. This one being in the tobacco documents collection could have meant that either one of the advertising agency people or their secretary assistant was actually there at the broadcast. And for the purposes of making sure they had an accurate, they took the script they had and then quickly went in and made the corrections that were set on air. So we have very little access to earlier drafts of scripts. We those were thrown away always. And so it can be a wonderful and precious to have any of these moments of seeing how at the last minute you might need to change a show around as if Mary was ill that day. Because at the very end of the show, Jack says, oh, Mary has a cold and I'm not going to go to the bandbox tonight. You know, that. So she may have had a cold or had been out partying too late with Claudette Colbert the night before. But as I said, this is a rare thing for us to have, be able to see these last minute changes.
Well, what's nice is the tobacco documents. Luckily, we got all these released that way. And really, from the time that Lucky Strike took over, they did do it that way, because I think they were covering their backs and like, okay, we want to know if anyone questions this, we know exactly what was said and exactly what happened. So they did that with all the scripts pretty much in the tobacco era, which makes them really fun to read through and see what was crossed out, what was kept and all that sort of thing. Cause they'll drop for time. They'll drop complete bits that are really good bits and you'll never get it. And I love that they didn't like scratch them out to the point where you can't read them. They just draw one line through it. And so you can usually read what was there and it's kind of exciting. So anyway, I hope folks are going to really enjoy this episode. It's a lot of fun to bring it to you. Like I said, thanks everybody.
67. The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, the enjoyment of a cigarette depends on the way it tastes, and Lucky's tastes better than any other cigarette. Here's why. The taste of anything depends on two things. What it's made of, how it's made. Now, in a cigarette, you've got to begin with fine tobacco. That's right, there's no substitute for fine tobacco. Don't let anybody tell you different. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. But that's not all you get in a Lucky Strike. You get unexcelled quality as well. This is why every Lucky Strike is round and firm, without annoying loose ends to stick to your lips. It's why Luckies are always fresh and smooth smoking. Yes, you can depend on Lucky's fine tobacco and superior workmanship to make Lucky's smooth, mellow, better tasting from first puff to last. Try a carton soon. you'll discover Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. So be happy, go Lucky.
Be happy, go Lucky, be happy, go Lucky Strike. Be happy, go Lucky, go Lucky Strike today.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingstone, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills. It's morning, and at the moment, our little star is shaving.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go Lucky Strike, be happy. Well, that was a good clean shave. Nice and smooth. I wonder how I'd look in a mustache. If I grew one, maybe somebody would give me $10,000 to shave it off, eh? I don't want anything to detract from my eyes. Well, now I'll go down to the kitchen and get something to eat. I hate when it's Rochester's day off. I always have to make my own breakfast. If there's anything I dread to do, it's fix my own meals. But it's either that or Rochester.
Huh? Oh, good morning, boss.
Rochester, what are you doing here on your day off?
Oh, I didn't have any place special to go, so I thought I'd just stick around the house.
Well, well, you know I was just going in the kitchen to make my own breakfast.
Good. Go right ahead. You know, boss, I really enjoy spending the day off at home. Yes, sir. Nothing like sitting in this rocking chair reading a good book.
Yes, yes. Well, I guess I'll go out in the kitchen and make my breakfast.
Oh, boss.
Yes, 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 yes.
When you get through, you'll find the dish rag under the sink.
Oh, well, I wish he'd oil that rocking chair. Let's see now. Where's the frying pan? Oh, there it is. I wonder if there are any eggs in the frigid air. Here's one egg, and there's another one behind. Oh, I always mistake that light bulb for an egg. Last week, I boiled it and screwed it into the egg cup. Oh, here's a whole bowl of eggs. I think I'll make them sunny side up. Gee, I hate to eat alone. If I only had someone to talk to. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss.
Would you like something to eat?
Oh, I don't know.
The eggs look awfully good.
Well.
They're fried, sunny side up, makes a nice breakfast.
Well.
Oh, I'm sure you'll like it.
Okay, bring it on in.
I'm not going to bring it in. And take off my bathrobe.
But boss, you gave this bathrobe to me for Christmas.
Well, I want it back.
Okay, 3 more months and it'll be mine again anyway.
Never mind. Oh, for goodness sakes, I was talking to him. My eggs burned, but I guess it's my fault. After all, it is his day off. And if he wants to spend it just sitting in a rocking chair, why?
Oh, boss, there's someone at the door.
I heard it.
He's coming.
Yeah, can't you wait a minute?
Oh, hello, Jack.
Hello, Don. Come on in. Come in the kitchen, Don. Sit down. Don, what's on your mind?
Well, Jack, the reason I dropped over was to tell you that I thought of a swell idea for the program. So I took the liberty of asking the girl who made that wonderful record, Come On to My House, to be a guest on the show.
Oh, Rosemary Clooney. Oh, that'll be great.
I'm going to bring her over a little later so you can talk to her.
Excuse me, Don. Hello. Yes, he's still here. Just a minute. Rochester. Rochester, Whistler's mother.
Yeah, boss.
There's a call for you. Take it in the den.
Yes, sir.
Now, where were we, Don?
We were talking about Rosemary Clooney. I figured she'd be a great guest star for your program because of her popularity. You know, Come On to My House sold nearly 3 million records.
Gee, that's a lot, isn't it? 3 million records.
And that's a novelty song. Sometimes torch songs or ballads sell even more.
Really?
Certainly. Take a song like, Stardust. Hoagie Carmichael wrote that one and made over $200,000 on it.
$200,000 for writing one song?
That's right. Now, Jack, my thought in using Rosemary Clooney on our program was to have a specially arranged number and incorporate it into the show. In that way, we could also use her dialogue. See what I mean, Jack?
$200,000 for writing one song. Gee.
Jack, you weren't listening.
What did you say, Hoagie? I mean, Don.
Never mind. I got to pick up Miss Clooney. I'll be back later.
I can't get over it. $200,000 for writing one song. Imagine. Now, what's that? Rochester, how come you're cleaning the house?
That phone call I got was from Susie. She wanted me to come out with her later this week, so I thought I'd work today and take Friday off.
Oh, good. Rochester, did you know that Hoagie Carmichael got $200,000 for writing one song?
Yeah, he made all that money when he wrote Stardust.
How do you like that? $200,000.
Say, boss, would you like me to fix you a nice breakfast?
No, not now. Rochester, if anybody calls, I'll be in the den.
Okay. Well, the house was pretty dirty, but I got it all cleaned up. I wonder what the boss is doing in the den. He's been in there for so long.
So, my darling, though we've parted.
What are you doing, Mr. Benny?
Rochester, why did you interrupt me?
Oh, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary. Come on in. I'm writing a song.
Well, I think that's what?
I'm writing a song.
You're writing a song?
Certainly.
Oh, you're kidding.
What do you mean, kidding? Songwriting is a very dignified profession. If it wasn't, would they pay me $200,000 for one song?
Jack, who's giving you $200,000?
Well, that's what they paid Hoagie Carmichael.
But Jack, Hoagie Carmichael wrote Stardust. That's a classic.
Some classic. $200,000 for that. Quiet, Polly. Now, Mary, my song is all about a fellow who broke up with his sweetheart, and I've got the most wonderful title for it.
What is it?
When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, it'll just ruin right Christmas.
No, they're different types. Mary, I'll show you how it goes.
Huh?
Quiet, Polly. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll return. Now, Mary, get this next line. This is so wonderful. Like the swallows at Serrano, return to Capistrano for you, my...
Now, wait a minute, Jack. What are swallows doing at Serrano?
Why, I had to rhyme something with Capistrano. Serrano's a little town in Italy.
Well, how can the swallows come all the way from Italy back to Capistrano?
I don't know. I can't have them come from Stockton or Pismo Beach. I've got to make it rhyme.
Well, why don't you have the swallows come from Hollywood?
Why Hollywood?
Then they can use the new freeway.
Oh, quiet. Now, Mary, you haven't heard the last part yet. Listen to this. It's so good. If you say that you are sorry, then I will understand. Neath the harvest moon, we'll pledge our love anew. Now, Mary, here's where I'm stuck, but I'll get it. So, my darling, though we've parted, come back to come back to. So my darling, though we've parted, come back. So my darling, though we've parted, come back to whence we started.
Whence?
Yes, whence.
It's a little town in Italy, right?
It is not. It's the poetic form of where. Now here's the finish. So my darling, though we've parted, come back to whence we started. And sweetheart, then I'll come back to you. Well, Mary, what do you think of my song?
Jack, I have the same opinion that Polly has.
Well, Polly didn't say anything.
No, but she just laid an egg.
What?
I think that Wentz did the trick.
Listen, Rochester, when this song is on the hit parade...
Hello? Is anybody up?
Up? Well, we're in here, Dennis. Come on in.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Well, hello, Dennis.
What are you doing up so early?
Early?
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
6 o'clock in the morning? Dennis, it's 11 o'clock. How do you happen to be 5 hours behind?
Last night, everyone I ran into said, don't forget to turn your watch back. So I did.
Dennis, it isn't 6 o'clock. You're supposed to turn your watch back 1 hour.
Oh, gee, now it's 5 o'clock.
You know, Mary, it's not bad enough. This kid drives me nuts, but today he's got an extra hour to do it.
Why don't you sing him your song and get even with him?
Oh, yeah? Let me tell you something. Mary, you can have your fun now, but just wait. Wait until... Excuse me. When you say, I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you when you... Oh, Don!
Here I am, Jack, back again.
Don, I thought you were going to bring Rosemary Clooney.
I'm right behind him, Jack.
Wow, Rosemary. Come on in. Gee, it was so nice of you to come over. Come on in the den. I want you to meet Mary and Dennis. And Rosemary, if Dennis acts silly, don't pay any attention to him. He's kind of young, you know.
He won't bother me, Jack. After all, I'm only 23 myself.
23? Gosh, I'm almost old enough to be your father.
Well, you'd certainly be a young father. After all, you're only 39.
That's right. How did you remember?
I've been hearing it all my life.
Follow me, Rosemary. Well, here we are. Mary, I'd like you to meet Rosemary Clooney.
Hello, Rosemary.
Hello, Mary.
Rosemary, I'd like you to meet Dennis Day.
Hello, Dennis.
Oh, sure, and Begora. It's like an old bit of blarney meeting a Colleen like yourself, Miss Clooney.
Dennis, I never knew you spoke with an Irish brogue.
Oh, 'tis a brogue which dripped with shamrocks, and you'll not find a better one this side of the County Cork.
Say, you just speak like a native. Do you come from Ireland?
No, I listen to Morton Downey.
You see, Rosemary, I told you.
Say, Rosemary, I heard you do a song on Guy Lombardo's Lucky Strike program this summer that I thought was wonderful. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it...
Was it From This Moment On?
Oh, that's it. I wish you'd do that on Jack's show this afternoon.
Oh, but Mary, I had another wonderful idea for Rosemary. That's why I brought her over here to see Jack.
Yes, Mary, I want you to hear what Don's idea is.
Well, Jack, hear this number first. Maybe you'll like it.
All right, go ahead, Rosemary, sing it.
Okay.
From this moment on, you for me, dear, only two for tea, dear. From this moment on, from this happy day, no more blue songs, only hoop-de-doo songs. From this moment on, boy, you've got the love I need so much, got the skin I love to touch, got the arms to hold me tight, got the sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, we'll be gone from this moment on. For you've got the love I need so much, got the skin I love to touch, got the arms to hold me tight, got the sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, we'll be riding high, babe. Every care is gone from this moment on.
That was wonderful, Rosemary. Simply wonderful. Hasn't she got a beautiful voice, Dennis?
Yes, for a girl.
Well, of course, for a girl. What man would sing like that?
Morton Downey.
Now cut that out.
Frankly, I don't see any comparison here. If Rosemary sang like Morton Downey, she'd have to be a soprano.
A soprano?
Quick, Jack, write it down. It rhymes with Capistrano.
Mary, you can stop being funny. Rosemary's voice happens to be more of a contralto.
That's even better. Now you can have the swallows come from Palo Alto.
What?
Well, they'll never make it from Serrano.
All right, all right. Let's forget my song.
Good, good.
Now, Rosemary, what's this great idea Don has for you?
Well, Jack, Don wants me to do Come On to My House with a special arrangement for the Sportsman Quartet.
The Sportsman? Where are they?
Behind Don.
Oh, move over, Don, and let me see.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And gee, there's an orchestra back there, too. Go ahead, Rosemary. Let's hear it.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. That's all I got.
Good, beautiful.
That's great.
That's pretty good.
Hit it, Sportsman Quartet.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Lucky Strike. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you L and a S and a M and a T. Hey, come on to my, oh, that's it. Come on to my house, come on.
We got it. We got it.
Come on to my house, your house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. I'm gonna give you a nice smell of cigarette. Hey.
Come on to my house, come on to my house. Well, I don't know, where does it end? I don't know, I don't know.
I gotta give you Lucky Strike. All right, gonna give you LSMF, LSMFD.
How many people does your house hold?
Quite a few up there.
It looks like it. Rosemary, that was wonderful. And Don, your idea of using Rosemary with the quartet was good too. But on what program do you think we should do it?
Naturally.
Dennis, what does that mean?
I don't know. It got a laugh last week.
Well, this is this week.
Well, how about having Rosemary do it this afternoon?
No, Don, I'd rather have Rosemary do my song. After all, it's brand new and... Rochester, will you answer the door, please?
I can't.
Why not? You're not taking today off. You decided to work today, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Then why won't you answer the door?
Lunch hour.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
He's coming. He's coming.
Oh, Phil, I wasn't.
Well, Jackson, I didn't intend to come, but I thought at a time like this, a man needs his friends around.
Me?
I thought you needed all the cheering up you could get.
Phil, why do I need cheering up?
Oh, well, I hate to be the one to break the news to you, but have you seen the morning papers yet?
No, why? Is there any bad news in them?
Yep, they're raising their prices to a dime.
They're raising the prices to a dime?
Yeah, it was in all the papers.
I know, but who read it to you?
I read it myself. It's print. I can handle that.
Oh.
Well, I'll run along now.
No, Phil, don't go. I'm glad you came. You might be able to help me a little.
Sure, Dad. What's your problem?
Well, I wrote a song, and I'd like you to take a look at the music.
The what?
Music. Music. For goodness sakes, what's on your piano?
Remley. We had a party last night.
Remley's on your piano?
He's in pretty bad shape. We might just pull down the lid and bury him right there.
Look, Phil, why can't you just once come in here and Rochester?
Still on dessert, boss.
Well, answer it anyway. Come on, Phil. The gang's in the den.
Hiya, kids.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Phil, this is Rosemary Clooney.
Hello, Phil.
Well, if you come to my house, I'll give you ham hocks and turnip greens, black-eyed peas from New Orleans. That's what I like.
Phil!
When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
What's the matter with the kid? Is he sick? Did somebody hit him in the head?
Dennis, put down my song.
Your song?
Yes, I wrote it.
Let me take a look at them lyrics. When I say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll return. Oh, no, Jackson. Forget about that song, Dad. Them lyrics don't mean nothing.
Oh, them don't mean nothing, don't they?
Nope.
Well, Phil, let me ask you something. You're the sole author and composer of a little gem called That's What I Like About the South, aren't you?
Yeah, I wrote that.
How many copies did that song sell?
About 5 million copies.
That's all the encouragement I need. And let me tell you something, Phil. I'm going to have this song introduced by a great singer, someone like Mario Lanza.
Mario Lanza?
Yes, he's the greatest tenor in America.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'll take that insult from whence it came.
Whence?
You see, Mary, my lyrics are catching on already.
Well, Jack, good luck on your song. I've got to run along now. Phil, will you give me a lift home?
Sure, that'll work pretty well, because you can hold Remley in as we go around the corners.
I've got to go, too.
Me, too. It's 4:45. I got to see the sunrise.
What?
Nothing. Phil, forget about it.
Hey, Rosemary, can I drop you someplace?
Yes, thanks, Phil. I'm living at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Goodbye, Jack.
Goodbye, Rosemary, and thanks so much for coming over.
Bye.
Bye, so long.
Goodbye. Bye, that Rosemary Clooney makes a fortune singing, come on. That Rosemary Clooney makes a fortune singing, come on to my house, and lives at a hotel. Well, everybody's gone. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. Gee, I like that better than Stardust. Let's see, how does Stardust go? Sometimes I wonder why I spend. At least my song makes sense. When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, with hostilities still continuing in Korea, 10 million people have become homeless and destitute. These people are in desperate need of clean, used clothing. Clothing gifts by groups and individuals should be made through your local American Relief for Korea. For further information, contact the American Relief for Korea, 133 East 39th Street, New York, New York. Thank you. Jack will be back in just a moment, but first.
Hey, Jackson, how about having the whole gang go to the bandbox tonight?
The bandbox?
Yeah, the Sportsman Quartet is over there.
I'd love to, but Mary has a cold, and I think I'll go over and cheer her up. Let me see, should I bring her a basket of fruit or a box of candy? Oh, I know. I'll sing her my song.
Naturally.
Yeah. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny program is heard by our armed forces overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Stay tuned for Amos and Andy's show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Radio Network.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. RCA Victor Television has been proven in millions of homes as the finest that money can buy. And now you pay less money than ever before for RCA Victor Million Proof Television. Prices are now the lowest in history, reduced prices for a limited time only. If you act now, you can save up to $115. Think of it, savings of up to $115. And only the prices have been changed. Advanced design and careful craftsmanship remain the same. If you live in a non-television area, you'll also find RCA Victor radios, Victrola phonographs, and combinations match these high standards of quality and performance. They, too, are the best you can buy. So wherever you live, choose RCA Victor television at new low prices, or an RCA Victor radio, or both. Just be sure of the name, RCA Victor, the cornerstone of home entertainment for three generations. At the end of last May, when Phil started his summer vacation, he felt it was a good time to get himself back into physical shape.
Alice, now that my vacation has started, I'm going to get a lot of exercise.
Oh, take it easy, Phil. You're not as young as you used to be.
What are you talking about? I'm as fit as a teenager. First thing I'm going to do is to play 6 sets of tennis.
Oh, well, don't forget your lace panties, Gussie. when are you going to start playing?
Right now. I'll just bend over and tie the laces on my tennis shoes, and then I'm set.
Ooh!
Well,
ooh.
Phil, what happened?
I think I snapped my second millinack. Ooh, I can't straighten up.
That was last May. 4 months have passed, and now it's time for Phil and Alice to go back on the air.
Oh, Phil, how long are you going to stay bent over double like that? You've been in bed all summer, and I'm getting tired of seeing you lie there with your head and feet on the same pillow. Hey, do you think you can straighten up for our opening show today?
I'll straighten up. I've just been resting. Perfectly all right. I'll get up and show you.
Well, are you sure you'll be able to stand up?
Of course I'm sure. There, I'm standing.
Well, stand up straight.
I am standing up straight. How do I look?
Like a U-turn.
Stop exaggerating.
Oh, I'm exaggerating. Then why is your chin resting on the floor?
I'm biting a loose thread off of the carpet and shut up.
Daddy, you won't be able to go to the studio bent over like that. You won't be able to walk.
I know, but it's our first show of the season and I gotta get there. There must be some way I can get out the studio.
I know how we can get you down, Daddy.
How?
You grab hold of your ankles and we'll roll you down like a hook.
Phyllis, aren't you a little young to start rolling men? Look, anybody else got any bright suggestions about how I can get to the studio?
Why don't you walk down on all fours, Philip?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Willie. I'm not going to be seen on the street with Phil on all fours. How would I explain it to the neighbors?
Comb his hair down over his eyes and tell him it's a sheepdog. I'll get a leash and a can of Dr. Ross.
All right, all right. Keep quiet or I'll take the starch out of that Herbert Hoover collar. Don't worry about me. I'm going to be okay when our show goes on the air at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock? What? You go on the air at 4:30.
Not this year. I changed it to 5. And that reminds me, I haven't told the band about our change of time. Come on, Alice. We better get down to rehearsal and tell them. All right, fellas, quiet down. Quiet down. Hey, I want to say something before we start.
What do you want, Remley?
As concert master of this organization, I have a responsibility to the maestro. We haven't been playing together all summer, so I think we ought to practice a little before Curly gets here. This is an important day. The beginning of a new season. I want you to play your best.
Okay, okay, we're ready to start playing.
Good. Let's cut the cards and see who deals. We'll play table stakes and jacks.
Jesus, fellas, here comes Harris.
Duck the cards. Start tuning up, quick. Gentlemen, I'm proud of you. That was the finest rendition I've ever heard of Come On to My House.
Oh, but Phil, they were only tuning up.
That's as close as they'll ever get to the melody. Gentlemen, I want to welcome you all back. It's good to see you again. And I trust you all had a restful time at the AA summer camp. And I'm sure you did, because I know the Automobile Association has some very nice places. How about you, Remley? Did you have a nice summer?
Hard to say.
Why, you got a cork in your mouth? What do you mean? Why is it hard to say?
Well, remember that party we had after the last show in May?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you took me home, put me to bed?
What about it?
When I woke up the next morning, it was August.
Oh, that's too bad. You missed the grape season. All right, gentlemen. All right, let's get on to work. Now, we're going to open up the show with a song. However, we only have time for one song, and I can't decide who should sing, Alice or me. So I'm going to leave it up to you guys. All those in favor of Alice singing, say aye.
Aye!
Now, all those in favor of having me sing, say aye. It was close, but the applause meter says me.
Guy that ran that Mrs. America contest last month?
Don't be a sore loser. Gentlemen, my introduction, please.
One day it's gonna happen when you least expect it to. A solid golden train is gonna come down after you. It's gonna happen suddenly, and then before you know, you hear that old conductor shouting, "All aboard, let's go." So will you be ready? Will you be ready when you hear that ooey-ooey-oo? Will you be ready? Will you be ready when that solid golden train comes after you? Find yourself a Pullman car, then stretch out in a berth. You're lying there and thinking of the life you led on Earth. You're wondering if you're heading up above or down below, and if your friends are glad or if they're sad to see you go.
Will you be ready? Will you be ready when you hear that ooh-ooh-ooh? Will you be ready? Will you be ready when that solid golden train comes after you?
Train comes to a stop, then disappears beneath your feet. And all at once you're standing right in front of old St. Pete. He reads your record to you by the time that he's through. It's pretty clear to see the old boy's got a lot on you.
So will you be ready? Will you be ready when you hear that ooh ooh ooh?
Will you be ready?
Will you be ready when that solid golden train comes after you?
Nothing you have ever done that he has overlooked. Unless somehow you get a break, you know your goose is cooked. You make a solemn promise, it won't happen anymore. He shakes his head and says, "My son, I've heard that one before." So when you're out carousing with the devil in your soul, you may throw sevens and elevens every time you roll. But don't think 'cause you're winning, you'll be lucky right on through. 'Cause one day that old golden train is coming after you. So
will you
be ready? Will you be ready when you hear that ooey ooey oo? Be ready, will you be ready when that solid golden train comes after you?
Curly, you sound different. The summer vacation has done something to your voice.
It has?
Yeah. Sounds sunburned. Don't worry, it'll be better as soon as the peeling stops.
All right, all right. I got no time for that gay banter. Look, it's 3:00. We got to rehearse the rest of the show so we can be on the air at 5.
You mean 4:30, Curly?
No, I mean 5. We used to be on at 4:30, but I changed it to 5.
Aha! Get him! Just because his old lady's got money, he thinks he's a big shot. We ain't going on at 5.
Sit down. Now go sit down, Artie. What difference does it make to you guys if we go on at 4:30 or 5?
It makes a lot of difference, Curly. It's utterly ridiculous to expect any musician to go to work at 5 o'clock.
What's ridiculous about it?
That's the cocktail hour.
I never heard of anything so
ridiculous. Wait a minute,
ridiculous.
Wait a minute, Alice. Just a minute now. The kid's got a point. I never thought of that. But it's too late to change it now. We got to go on at 5.
I'm sorry, Curly. We just can't do it.
Wait a minute. Will you look at it my way, Remley? Now, look, it may be the cocktail hour here, but when it's 5 o'clock in Los Angeles, it's 8 o'clock in New York. So you'll really be working at 8 o'clock.
That's even worse.
Why?
That's the B&B hour.
Is there any non-drinking hours when you fellas are available for playing?
Offhand, I can't think of any.
Will you keep quiet? Now, look, both our sponsor, RCA and NBC, approved the new time, and nothing's going to change it. I'm starting to sing at 5 o'clock.
Okay, but we're going to start playing at 4:30. You sing fast, you might catch up with it.
Henry, what are you guys trying to do, ruin me?
It's not us, Curly, it's the union. The band is contracted to play at 4:30, and they won't let us play at any other time.
I'll talk to the union representative and straighten them out.
Well, I don't think he'll talk to you, Curly, on account of his phobia.
What phobia?
He hates Indian band leaders who are married to blonde movie stars.
What's he got against Vincent Lopez? Union or no union, I'm going on the air at 5 o'clock.
Well, then you'll have to go on without the band.
Phil, this is a problem for the sponsor.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Alice. Maybe Mr. Scott can't figure out a way. Come on, honey, let's get over to his house. Wait a minute, Remley, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
You're going to come along, too. Hey, Artie, you call the union representative and have him meet us at Mr. Scott's house. I hope Mr. Scott's at home.
Hey, Curly, maybe I better go wait in the car. Scotty hates the sight of me. When he sees me, he'll slam the door in my face. I don't want to get you in the interview.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Harris.
Hello, Mr. Scott.
Hiya, Scotty.
Come on in. Well, Remley's here, too. Come in, Francis. Come in.
Huh?
Come in. It's good to see you again, boy. I haven't seen you all summer, and I want you to know I missed you. I must say, I've never seen you looking better. And I'm glad you came over.
If this is a touch, get lost. I'm broke.
Remley, I don't need your money. I'm just trying to be a nice person.
Don't try. You'll never make it.
Frankie! Please. Why can't you get along with Mr. Scott? Is it a clash of personalities?
It couldn't be that. Remley doesn't have one. What did you want to see me about, Harris? Anything important?
Yes, sir. It's very important. I want to talk to you about the show.
I'm glad you do. I want to talk to you about it, too. Have you made any improvements on it this year?
Well, Mr. Scott, please listen. You see, it's my band. You see, they're not going to play on the show today.
Fine. That's a step in the right direction.
Mr. Scott, you don't understand. If they don't play, I won't be able to sing.
Oh, this gets better as it goes on.
Will you please listen? The band refuses to go on at 5 o'clock, and you've got to do something about it.
Harris, changing the time to 5 o'clock was your idea. You told me you had everything arranged. And now at the last minute, you tell me you can't do it. What are you trying to do? Sabotage our show?
No, sir.
Are you unhappy with us as a sponsor? Are you ashamed of being associated with the RCA Victor family?
Oh, no, sir. I love all three brothers of the RCA Victor family.
What three brothers?
Rodney, Clyde, and Abner. By the way, is Abner still active in the firm?
No, no, he had a long playing ulcer, and we transferred... Oh, keep quiet! That isn't what RCA stands for. Don't you people even know who you're working for?
Of course we do, Scotty. Curly's a little mixed up, but not me. I'm proud of the company I work for, and I love the product you make.
You do, Remley?
Certainly. I wouldn't think of having pancakes without RCA syrup.
Thank you. We don't make syrup.
Marinated meatballs?
No.
Give me a hint.
Our product is known all over the world. You must have seen our famous trademark, a little dog sitting there with his ear glued to a long horn.
Oh, of course. You make ear trumpets for deaf dogs.
We make radios, television sets, records, and record players.
You mean they're making the same products they made last year? What's the matter with this company? They in a rut?
Remley, We don't have time for this. Harris, why won't the musicians go on at 5 o'clock?
Their contract calls for them to play at 4:30, and they say the union won't let them go on at any other time.
That's ridiculous. We never had trouble with the musicians' union before. I just called Petrillo and settled the whole thing.
Now, won't do you any good. He ain't the head of our new union.
What new union?
I forgot to tell you, Curly. During the summer, me and the rest of the boys joined the new group.
What's this new group?
Well, it's known as the Amalgamated Federation of Musicians Who Don't Have to Know How to Play a Note As Long as They Pay Their Dues on Time Guild. Sort of a protective association.
It sounds like a racket to me.
Mr. Scott, I resent your implication. I'll have you know our group is a fine organization, and our representative is a gentleman of the highest caliber. That must be him now. Come in. Mr. Scott, you'll find our representative a wonderful person to do business with. He's reasonable, tolerant, and fair-minded.
Don't nobody move, I got you covered.
See what I mean, Scotty?
Remley, Grogan is your representative.
He's our boy. He's very intelligent and he handles all disputes in a dignified manner.
You said it. Now then, which one of you monkeys have got a beef?
Smooth approach, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, Grog, these gentlemen think our union is being unfair to them.
We are never unfair. If anybody's got a complaint, just tell us. We're always ready to listen to both sides of the story. Now then, who's got the squawk?
I have. It seems your musicians refuse.
Just
to...
a minute. Are you a member of our guild?
No.
Then shut up. Only guild members are allowed to talk. Harris, I would advise you to join our union.
I ain't joining no strong arm outfit.
What a foolhardy decision. Now you won't have our protection against having an accident.
What kind of an accident can I have?
Well, here's our list. Pick one out that appeals to you. I suggest number 4, because there's very little pain with that one.
A moment. I have something to say, Grogan.
Remley, Who's this sloppy little fat boy?
He's our sloppy little sponsor.
Now, Mr. Grogan, this is a very simple problem. We changed the time of our show, and we want your musicians to start at 5.
Now, wait a minute. Our contract calls for us to play at 4:30.
Now, gentlemen, this is a simple problem to solve, and I got a solution that will make both sides happy. Remley?
Sir?
From now on, you guys start at 5 and you play backwards till you get to 4:30. I have spoken.
But you ain't said nothing.
We are wasting time. Harris, it's up to you to see that the show goes on at 5 o'clock, or I'll cancel your contract for the rest of the
season.
All right,
now don't worry, Mr. Scott. I'll take care of it. I want to see the president of this union, Remley.
Okay, his house is right around the corner. We'll just cut through the back alley.
Oh, Phil, I won't be able to sing on the show tonight. It's only an hour before showtime, and I haven't rehearsed my song yet.
You can rehearse it on the way over to the president's house.
You expect me to sing in an alley?
Get used to it. If we blow this show, we'll both be singing in an alley.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. Getting to know you, putting it my way but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know
getting
you,
to know you,
getting to feel free and easy. When I am with
getting
you,
to know you,
getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you
day by day,
day by day.
Better and better, better and better. It's our pleasure to make your humble acquaintance.
Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy
because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day.
Well, here's the president's house, Curly. I hope he's home.
Hey, Rem, this house looks familiar. Seems I've been here before. Who is your president, anyway?
What's on your mind, Mac?
I'm dead. Julius, are you the president of the Musicians Protective Guild?
That's right, and I hereby fine you $200.
What for?
Give me the money. I'll think of something later.
I wouldn't give you nothing.
What's the idea of organizing my band behind my back? They belong to a legitimate union. Your guild is nothing but a racket.
How dare you? I'll have you know our guild is a noble institution. I worked day and night to get this started, and now that our great guild is a realization, it has but one aim, one goal, one purpose.
What's that?
To louse you up.
Julius, you gotta listen to me.
Run along, you're starting to bore me.
Now, wait a minute, Julius. I got a problem, and you got to listen. It's a matter of life and death. It involves my career, my whole future.
Oh, that's different. I'm a busy man, but if it's that serious, I'll listen. State your case, but keep it to three words or less.
What?
You got two words left.
Look.
One word.
Julia.
That's all.
Will you listen, kid? You gotta help me. Now, the time of our show has been changed, and we want you to let the band play at 5 o'clock instead of 4:30.
I see. And if I gave my permission to let them play at 5, that would solve your problem and make everything easy for you, wouldn't it?
That's right. What do you say, kid?
Let's do it the hard way. I can't let your band play at 5 o'clock. Unless, of course, you join my union.
Ah, so that's it, huh? The whole thing is a plot to force band leaders to join your union.
We don't force nobody to join. Nearly every band leader in the country joined our union voluntarily because they saw the wisdom.
That scream. That came from the cellar. Who you got down there?
Harry James. We had a little trouble with him.
You can't scare me. You haven't got Harry James down there. What was that?
Harry, it's tough playing a trumpet with 10 broken fingers.
Okay, all right, you got me. Now, if I join your union, can I play at 5?
Sure.
Okay, then I'll join. Come on, Alice. We got to get on
not
over there.
Not so fast. First, you got to pay the initiation fee. It ain't much. Just enough to cover postage when we mail your union card.
Okay, how much is it?
$50,000.
$10,000.
Who you got licking your stamps, Barbara Hutton? Are you crazy or something? I ain't paying no $50,000 to get into
her. Oh, Phil, don't argue over a few pennies. Give him the $50,000.
Don't be silly. I don't carry that kind of money around with me. Julius, all I got is $8.
I'll take it.
You haven't got any money on you, Curly.
How do you know?
Artie picked your pocket during rehearsal. He couldn't find a quarter.
I hide it when I get around you guys. I got it stashed in my shoe.
Stop stalling and get the dough.
All right, all right. Just give me a chance to bend over and untie.
Ow. Ooh.
Anyone for tennis?
All right. There goes my back again. Now I won't be able to do the show today.
Ah, yes, you will. Pick him up, Frankie.
But I won't be able to sing my song.
Well, don't worry, Phil. We'll get Jackie Robinson to take your place. He can do anything.
Yes.
Now, here's Phil once again.
Thank you. Folks, I went to the RCA Victor people this summer when we heard that they'd chosen our show again for this fall, and I told them that I wanted to do something extra. I really wanted to work. They felt that was novel. But seriously, I meant it. I asked them to let me tell our listeners from time to time about this great company and its great products. RCA Victor always stands for extra value. Right now, when you buy any RCA Victor instrument that plays 45 records exclusively, you get over $6 worth of record albums at no extra cost. For example, when you buy RCA Victor's new Victrola 45 record changer attachment, you may pick out over $6 worth of record albums without paying a penny additional. Albums by Perry Como, Tony Martin, Toscanini. Twenty-five hit albums of great music to choose from. So go look at the 45 record changer attachment and remember it's only $12.95. Or any RCA Victor instrument that plays 45s and then get in on this terrific new offer. Over $6 worth of record albums. That's a bonus for you. Try it for me, won't you? No extra cost. Good night, everybody. We're very happy to be back with RCA. And now that we got it all settled about the new time, we hope you'll be listening each week. Remember, we'll be with you each week directly following the big show. Alice, would you like to say something?
Good night, darlings.
That should have been my line.
Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or...
Next, it's the Theater Guild and Main Street on NBC.